All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens. Rice and... what?
I like it when Pete Abrams picked music better.
Really?
What is this crap?
It's Run DMC, Christmas in Hollis. This is our Christmas episode.
Whose house?
Run's house. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 86. I think we'll call it Christmas in Gotham.
Very interesting.
Christmas in Gotham.
Dare I ask why?
No, you dare not ask.
It was a surprise.
You know why.
I kind of
a surprise to them.
Well,
to you, it's well known.
Yeah, well, it should be a surprise to them. We are doing this for them.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Let's just let that by and let's get to the news.
Okay. Well, we should start off by saying that
Fantastic is not here.
Well, no, he's here. He's just passed out under the Christmas tree.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, we were doing like shots of eggnog earlier on, and we were exchanging some Christmas presents and talking about the fantastic Christmas party we had this past weekend. And
yes, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Christmas party spectacular.
It was a Christmas party spectacular.
It was a Christmas miracle. We got 35 people in Studio A.
Word. And comfortably at that, too.
I would agree with that statement.
But, yeah, so fantastic. Passed out. And he's passed out awfully close to that big purple gift sitting there on the floor. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think we should discuss the big
that's
purple
all, gift. That's all. I'm leaving that big purple gift. Anybody who was at the party will understand.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's get right into it tonight. Let's go with Wolverine.
The movie?
The movie.
Okay.
Let's get into it a little bit. We've heard in the past couple weeks all sorts of rumors and speculation. Of course, probably one of the most exciting things is that
it's going to be Hugh Jackman, right?
That's it. Yeah. No.
That's exciting.
Is that the Merc with the Mouth is going to be making an appearance in the film. That was the big rumor about 2 weeks back, I think.
Right.
I don't know if we talked about it on here or not, but Deadpool is definitely in the running for making a cameo in that film, which makes sense because Marvel has been talking for a long time about doing a Deadpool solo movie.
So who do we cast as Deadpool?
I don't know. I think...
It's got to be a smartass.
Ryan Reynolds...
Oh, yeah.
...was the one who was the biggest talk, and I think actually had expressed interest in doing it. Now, Ryan Reynolds both has proven that he can be buff, he can do an action film, and he's funny.
Blade 3.
Waiting.
The
acting, right, yeah, right.
Blade 3, I think, is the best example.
Put a mask on him in Blade 3, get rid of Wesley Snipes. There it is. So that was the rumor about a week or two back.
Okay.
Now we've got some story about, we've got Marvel's big reveal a little bit about what's going on, and it's really not spectacular. I'm more excited about the Deadpool thing, but let's go with what we have.
Ooh, the big reveal.
Written by David Benioff, who wrote Troy. I guess that could be good, right?
One of my guilty pleasure movies.
Yeah, I don't get that movie.
Troy and Eurotrip.
But I get Eurotrip. I could appreciate Eurotrip. Troy.
What don't you like about Troy?
I don't know. It just didn't do it for me.
You're crazy.
I'm sorry.
The movie was great.
Eric Bana, Orlando Bloom.
It had Brad Pitt, but... Beautiful people.
I know. Well, fantastic. I mean,
like,
you know.
Greek statues come to life.
If he was conscious.
Fantastic. In a world of abs in that movie.
Really. It's a shame he's passed out. Anyhow, Wolverine Origins.
You're selling that Fantastic Passed Out thing really hard.
I'm trying to.
I'm just saying.
Is it working?
You're selling it really hard.
Is it working?
You really think that they think that he's passed out?
No, everybody by now knows that Fantastic just doesn't bother to show up to the show anymore. But that's okay. We have to pretend.
Now, see, now that's not accurate either. It's
you know what?
Accurate.
One of our guests who was at the Big Kev's Christmas Party Spectacular came up to me and said, "What, Fantastic didn't even bother to show up to the party?" And I said, "No, actually, he was here, but you missed him." And he said, I don't think he exists. You're always talking about him. He's not actually in the studio, and then he's not actually at the party. I don't think he exists.
Well, actually, OG, he is here today. He's just keeping really low key. And are you all right over there, Fantastic? You betcha, Kev. There he is. And he's obviously fine. You're fine, right? You betcha, Kev. Okay.
Good. All right. All right. So there
he
is.
Now we can move on. Now that's my use of covering Fantastic not being here. I'm actually using something rather than trying to hard sell the audience on the we're pulling the curtain back.
All right, let's get on with this Wolverine thing, okay, shall we? It tells the story of Wolverine's epically violent and romantic past, his complex relationship with Victor Creed, and the ominous Weapon X program. Along the way, Wolverine encounters many mutants, both familiar and new, including surprise appearances by several legends of the X-Men universe.
Okay.
So, several legends. I'm guessing Deadpool is involved in that. Mm-hmm. And then the other one would be about 2 months ago, the rumor was that Gambit was going to make an appearance in the Wolverine movie.
Right.
Completely out of the context of where he should be. But I guess they... So, maybe that's the other one. So, maybe we'll finally get to see Gambit on the big screen. It's possible.
Hmm.
It's possible. I don't know. I think this is really... doesn't tell us anything. I think this tells us kind of what it is we
kind
expect to see, sort of.
Knew was going to happen anyway.
Anyway, yeah. So I don't know why it's been treated as a big reveal.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's interesting. Well, I guess it remains to be seen who the cameos are going to be. That will be interesting. And who's going to play them. And it will also remain to be seen. Now, have they cast Tyler Mayne?
They have not, as far as I've heard.
Okay.
Which... how you're going to do Victor Creed and Sabretooth without using Tyler Mayne. I thought he was very good in that role.
It would be a sin. It would be an unforgivable sin not to use Tyler Mayne. It would just be unforgivable.
It would be. And he really, I thought he did a very good job with that role. He looked the part, certainly.
I want to say also, Tyler Mayne was in Troy.
There you go.
Played Ajax. Look, so he has a relationship with the director.
You're tying it all in. So maybe he'll make an appearance.
See?
There were those rumors that he was contracted through Marvel to do multiple films, so maybe they just pushed that little contract loop over to Wolverine instead of X-Men.
Maybe. Okay. Just a quick update on a story we talked about last week. The Zorro comic coming from Dynamite Entertainment, that's going to be written by Matt Wagner and drawn by Francesco Franciavilla. Of Black Coat fame, amongst others. Little update we have is that Zorro number one will be 350, and it's going to feature multiple covers by Matt Wagner, Mike Mayhew and Dean White, and John Cassaday. So three covers, and they will be in a Matt Wagner 50%, Mike Mayhew and Dean White 25%, and John Cassaday 25%. Allocation. So in other words, you know, if you ordered 10,
right,
half of them would be Matt Wagner, and then the other halves would be the other guys.
The other guys.
Yeah.
Multiple persons. All right. Well, that's good. I mean, look, it's still an exciting book.
Right. And it's coming in February. It's very exciting. This guy, Francesco Franciavilla, is just, I mean, the guy's absolutely born for these type of characters, these pulpy type of characters. So it's
right.
Going to be very exciting.
Cool. Well, I'm looking, like I said, I enjoyed Black Coat, so it should be a fun follow up. Let's talk a little bit about Peter Jackson.
Oh yeah,
have you heard about this?
Oh yeah, I did.
Okay, so New Line and Peter Jackson have like pretend made up. at least in my personal, this is how I'm interpreting this story.
Okay.
They've pretend made up in order to get a project done that everybody wants to see on the fans' end, and I'm sure the studios want to see on their end because it's got to be a financial goldmine
right.
if it's done properly.
Right.
We're talking about, of course, The Hobbit.
Right. So that is now greenlit.
Right.
And I know a few things. It's going to be two films.
Right. We'll get there in a sec, though.
Okay.
Let's talk about Peter Jackson's role. Do you know what his role is going to be?
He and Fran are going to be executive producers.
Correct.
And they're doing the scripts.
And the director is yet to be named.
I think it's going to be him. I think he's just going to break down and do it.
Do you think it's a matter of him, or is it a matter of New Line, or is it a little bit of both?
Okay, New Line, to my understanding, is in charge of the production of these movies.
Okay.
That said, they could theoretically monkey up the works and think that somebody else should direct the film. I personally think that Peter Jackson should take the gig on.
Well, I think so, too. For so many different reasons, but I wonder if
I think that
Peter's ego and New Line's ego.
Well, there's a third party involved,
which is
MGM.
Okay,
MGM is also going to be part of the production of this movie and distribution of this movie.
Okay,
it's going to be MGM, New Line, Peter Jackson's Wingnut Films. I think he is right, and. So there's a lot of players in the game. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this decision has already been made, and they are baiting the fans.
Okay.
I believe it's going to be Peter Jackson, and I'll tell you why.
Shoot.
The first film is coming out in 2009.
Okay.
The second, well, there's going to be two films.
Two films.
Right. They're going to be shot simultaneously.
Right.
It's The Hobbit, but obviously they're really going to flesh it out.
Okay.
It's a short story, so how are you going to make two films out of it? Well, you're not going to make two-hour films. You're going to make two shorter films, hour and a half, hour 45, and they will stretch things out just like, you know.
Okay.
Just like they are capable of doing, you know. There's enough meat in there to do that. Okay, that said, because then don't they tell the story of Tom Bombadil within the story of The Hobbit or something?
Well, they tease it, so I suppose they could tell it.
Right. They could take a few minutes and tell us whatever they're going to do to flesh it out. Okay. So, two films. First one, 2009.
Right.
Second one, 2010.
Right.
Right? Is that the information you
have?
That
is correct.
Okay. In order for that to happen.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. You're wrong.
10 and 11?
It's 10 and 11. Production is going to start in
2009. Okay.
10 and 11 are the releases.
No, principal photography is going to begin in 2009.
I have production is set to begin in 2009
right.
with a release planned for 2010
right.
and a sequel for 2011.
Production is going to begin in 2009. Pre-production is starting immediately. In all the reports I've read, go to theonering.net. Pre-production is starting immediately, probably in January.
Okay. Now, is this 3D or is this live action?
Live action.
Okay, because there was rumor a couple weeks back that it was going to be like, that I had heard 3D.
I heard live.
Was the
I've
rumor that
action.
I had heard.
There's no, if they were going to do it in 3D.
Yeah.
I think that would have been part of their release that they were going to do it.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Well, I guess if, unless they're still teasing it around back and forth.
Let's keep going with my theory.
Okay.
Production, principal photography in 2009 means that the entire year of 2008 is going to be pre-production, right?
Okay.
And I'm still going on the assumption this is a live-action film. I can't imagine that this is going to be CGI. I can't imagine that it's going to be that.
Okay.
The other reason is because they started a website. Do you have the website in your information there? The Hobbit blog. .com
I do not have that, no.
Like that? Well, if you go to theonering.net, obviously you can link over to it. There's a live picture at the top of Gandalf sitting with a hobbit.
Okay.
Who you presume at this point to be Bilbo.
Bilbo.
Right. Not generated, but live people. Okay. We're going to continue moving on with my theory. In order for them to go into pre-production, right?
Right.
in, let's say, a month for, for round numbers. They have to have a script.
Okay.
If they have a script that's been approved, the script approval would also involve the director.
Okay.
So there's no way they're in pre-production on a film without having chosen a director.
I'm not saying that I don't think they've chosen a director. I guess I'm not 100% convinced that it's Peter Jackson.
I think it's got to be.
Only because I guess at this point with these movies, I'm not 100% convinced of anything until I see it confirmed and in writing.
Right.
And I agree with your line of thinking and your line of reasoning. And look, I hope that's the way it goes.
I think we will know in the next, I'm going to say within the next 4 to 6 weeks that announcement's going to be made. And they're going to roll they're rolling into pre-production. It said pre-production will start immediately.
Okay.
And there's no way that it can start immediately. Even if they're executive producing it, there's no way it starts immediately. And they're searching. This just happened. I mean, this must have just, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say that this happened a month ago.
Right.
Even if this happened a month ago and they're just announcing it now, the script is obviously done. Or how do they go into pre-production? How do they go? They did pre-production for over a year for the other three films.
No, I know.
So it seems to me like it's all kind of there. It's just they're just going to piddle it out a little squirt at a time.
Well, if they're going into pre-production, then I'm thinking that they've got to have a cast lined up too then, no?
Certainly Ian McKellen.
Right. And I'm guessing Andy Serkis.
Yeah, that's probably a good bet. So who plays Bilbo?
Who plays Bilbo? And not only who plays Bilbo, but who plays you know, Thorin who plays all the dwarves and stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, they play major roles in that movie. I mean,
they do, but really, it's Bilbo's film. So who plays Bilbo? Do you get Ian Holm? Ian Holm.
You could get Ian Holm, certainly.
He's much older, and he's, last I heard, he had the big casino.
The big casino? Okay.
So
look, if you don't get Ian Holm, I don't think that you're going to upset the continuity beasts out there too much. I think that there's an accepted level of getting Ian Holm.
Unless, of course, you refilm the Ian Holm, the young Bilbo scenes from The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I think between Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, Bilbo's a little bit older. He's a little bit more corrupted by the ring.
Gandalf says what in Lord of the Rings?
What?
You don't look like you've aged a day.
He's being nice.
I don't believe so.
It's like when someone's 60 and you're like, you don't look a day over 30.
No, he says it, and he says it in the voice like that very suspicious, something's not right voice, like, you don't look as if you've aged a day.
I guess. I don't know. Look, if they don't get Ian Holm, I don't think it's going to upset people too much, but we're going to have to wait and see. There's certainly lots of casting to do for this movie that'll be very exciting. So
certainly.
So it's just good to know that we have that to look forward to.
Kotobukiya.
Ooh-wee.
The makers of fine vinyl. Is it vinyl?
Yeah, they're vinyl.
Vinyl art
snap.
Art FX statues. They have their latest Star Wars one is coming out in April. It's Boba Fett. Now, what's significant about this Boba Fett is he is the first of six bounty hunters that are coming out. That will include Dengar, Forlorm, Zuckuss, Bossk, IG-88, and Boba Fett. And what's going to happen is you can link them all together.
Right.
And you have a nice little display. What makes it more incredible. Now, we reported on this.
We did back in February of last year, almost a year ago.
Yeah. No. It was after San Diego, sir.
No, we knew about these in February, sir.
No, it was San Diego. Because our friend over there, Frank, showed me the sketches.
Sure.
What he said also, which I'm going to remind people now, is each one of the bounty hunters will come with a piece of a brand new, full-sized Darth Vader.
Right.
So you collect all the bounty hunters, and you get this big display with Darth, a new artifacts, $100 Darth Vader in the center for free.
Welcome to the world of Build-A-Figures, Cotobukiya.
Yes, welcome. The Star Wars Boba Fett artifact statue will be available in April. So look for it then. The Bounty Hunter series.
We've been avoiding talking about this. I've been avoiding talking about this mostly because I didn't want to hear the guff associated with talking about this.
That our producer's gay?
No. I don't know. Hey, hey, Fantastic. Are you gay?
You betcha, Kev.
Wait, I'm not Kev.
I'm glad you're coming on board with that and abandoning this whole passed out under the tree thing.
Well, there's that too. But, you know, whatever. But anyway, today, just today, I read something. I read some news about this that reconfirms that I need to bring it up on this show. We skated over it once. We need to talk about it at least a little bit now.
Okay.
This would be the Dragon Ball Z movie. All right. Now listen. I know that I know already you don't like it, and that's fine. That's cool. But we have to talk. James Marsters is in it. For that alone, we should have made more reference to it than we have. All right? But now, they've made some new casting announcements today.
Okay.
Some of them not so exciting. Some of them maybe a little bit more.
Okay, I doubt it.
Emily Rossum, who is in Phantom of the Opera.
Yes.
Is going to be in it.
She was also in Mystic River.
Yes.
She's the girl that was killed.
Right.
She's cute.
She will play Bulma in the Dragon Ball Z movie.
Oh, Bulma.
Which means nothing to you right now. But that's okay. We already know James Marsters is in it. He's going to be playing Piccolo. Justin Chatwin, who's been in a couple of things, he's going to be playing Goku. But here's why I think we need to at least make reference to this.
Okay.
Chow Yun-Fat is going to be in the movie.
Oh, damn it.
That's what I'm saying.
Now I got to go see it.
That's what I'm saying.
Who's he going to be?
He's playing Master Roshi. Master Roshi is the older gentleman that raises Goku and teaches Goku pretty much martial arts. For those of you that don't know, a little bit of backstory. Or let me read you the plot concept I heard online, and then we'll flesh it out a little bit.
Okay.
The movie centers on an adult humanoid alien named Goku, who, after discovering he was sent to Earth to destroy the population, tries to fulfill the wish of his dying grandfather and collect all 7 of the world's mystical Dragon Balls to keep them out of the hands of the evil aliens. All right. So Goku is sent to Earth as a baby. He doesn't want to destroy the Earth, so he ends up spending his life protecting it from people who do want to destroy the Earth. Master Roshi is the person who takes him in, trains him, etc., etc.
Okay,
he's the Mr. Miyagi of the Dragon Ball world.
No, that's a terrible analogy.
Okay.
So Goku is Hellboy, and Chow Yun-Fat is Professor Broom.
Okay.
So that's all I'm saying.
So Chow Yun-Fat is going to be in this movie now. For that alone, we need to make reference to it. You don't have to say it, but we do need to tell people about it.
DVDs.
All right, bastard.
A plentiful week for interesting DVDs this week. The Simpsons movie.
Now, I still haven't seen this.
No, I haven't seen this either, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say that I haven't seen it because we really both should have made an effort to go and see it when it came out, I think.
We should have, but
We didn't.
And after it came out, I heard so many mixed flip-flops that I guess I want to see it, but
Stardust.
Now, see, that I really do want to see.
Right, and as well you should. The Neil Gaiman comic book come to life with such stars as Claire Danes, Michelle Pfeiffer, Robert De Niro, Ricky Gervais, Sienna Miller, Peter O'Toole. There's a lot of people. Rupert Everett. There's a lot of people in this.
Everybody is in that movie, apparently.
It was really funny. It was really good, and I accept the comparison to The Princess Bride that everyone is making.
Okay.
This is like another Princess Bride, this movie.
Okay.
And I accept that. And I enjoyed it. And I think it's great. I think everybody should pick it up and check it out.
Well, I think Neil, who was so critical of his own work and work in general, accepted it. So by that, you have to kind of give it a go.
True that. Halloween. Now, this is the Rob Zombie Halloween, the most recent Halloween movie.
I don't care Halloween.
This is the unrated two-disc special edition that we have here.
Right.
And it features such stars as Tyler Mayne, who actually plays Michael Myers.
One Michael Myers.
He does. Malcolm McDowell is in it, of course. And Brad Dourif, Daniel Harris, William Forsythe. I mean, there's it's a lot of interesting people in the film. I have seen part of this movie.
Okay.
And I thought it was very good.
Okay.
All things considered, that it's a remake, that it's Rob Zombie, that it's this and that. I think it's nice. I think if you get it at Best Buy, I'm not sure about this, but you get this nice lenticular cover.
Fancy.
Did you?
You know what? I'm not sure. I don't think you do, so that might be a Blockbuster exclusive.
It's nice. It's a nice lenticular.
Really, Malcolm McDowell as Loomis. That's the only reason I want to see that movie.
True that. Balls of Fury.
Oh, God. I'm so angry I didn't get to see this.
Me too, but now you have a chance.
Right.
If only to see Christopher Walken in yet another movie.
Exactly.
You don't even need to see anybody else in this flick.
Well, that's not true. I mean, if you're a fan of The State and Reno 911 and stuff like that, a lot of those guys aren't, like, Tom Lennon is in it. And
George Lopez.
Yeah, I mean, there are some funny people in that movie, and Chris Walken certainly leads that cast. If this is only a small fraction of the amount of funny that Mouse Hunt is, it would be worth seeing.
And a little retro for you here, OG.
Wow.
The Mod Squad.
Complete season one?
Complete season one, sir. 1968 to 1969.
Wow.
Big Kev was Baby Kev.
Aww.
And season one. The tagline, justice never goes out of style.
That's right.
Fantastic. Ugh. Look at Link Hayes. Look at that. Look at that afro, dude.
I see it. Only Fantastic rivals that afro, really.
If he lets it grow out.
Word.
Do you have any intention of growing the afro out again this year, Fantastic?
You betcha, Kev.
Oh, good. Well, that'll be good to see.
All right.
And finally,
the
DVDs.
The piece de resistance.
The coup de grace. This should really, maybe we should save this for the second segment.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. I think we could talk about it now.
All right.
We could save it.
It's pretty incredible.
You want to save it? Let's save it. I only have one more news thing. Anyway,
oh, you do?
So, yeah.
Well, why don't you do that? And then, because we have this and we have that thing and we have the other thing.
Right. This, that, and the other thing.
Right. I also forgot to mention that with the Simpson movie, purchase of the Simpson movie at Best Buy, I got this humongous Homer squeezy thing.
Yes.
It's like a stress ball, but it's a big, giant, fat Homer.
Badass Homer. He should be in a Moomoo, really. But I hope you got some pajamas at Best Buy, because you're going to want to take a nap for the next, like, minute or so.
Okay.
I'm talking about the Wii for about a minute.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Did I put the show on pause music on?
No.
Okay.
Nintendo said this past week that it is starting a rain check program for the Wii this holiday season.
Uh-oh.
For those of you who are upset that you still cannot get your Wii system, because as you know, Wii still outselling every console on the market right now. Nintendo has assured us that it is not a production problem, that they're not doing this intentionally, that, you know, in order to make a single console, they rely on multiple vendors. If one of those vendors is slower than any of the other vendors, then the entire process is slower. So they're producing them as quickly as they can through Nintendo and through GameStop.
Is it safe to lick the Wii?
I might be. I don't know.
Okay, I'm just saying.
It might be. I think Nintendo is fairly responsible. Just a thought. Through Nintendo and GameStop, you can get one of these rain checks. You are guaranteed to get a Wii then sometime during the first couple weeks of January. So it's kind of like you put the little rain check under the tree and you're like, look, I'm a shitty parent and I couldn't get this for you because I didn't hunt hard enough.
I don't want to pay $1,000.
But it's coming in a couple days. That's really what this is. So check out your local GameStop if you've been trying to get one and you can't. And there it is. And real quick, while you said that $1,000 thing, did you see some dude sold his son's Guitar Hero for $9,000 on eBay to some bloke in Australia?
Why? Do they not have it in Australia?
I don't know. This dude bought it for his son for Christmas, and then he found his son smoking pot.
Yeah.
So he was like, I'm selling it. You're not getting it for Christmas. So he put it on eBay, and some guy in Australia bought it for $9,000.
Why $9,000?
I don't know. That's just what it went for. That was this end selling price.
The Guitar Hero owned by Pete Townsend or something?
Perhaps. I don't know.
They don't have any Who songs on there. Stupid Guitar Hero.
I'm sorry.
Just saying. You know, we should also just say that our exclusive commentary with Sam Jones and Melanie Anderson for the 1980 cult classic Flash Gordon still available over at our website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can either buy the few remaining limited edition DVDs.
That's right.
That have the audio commentary, the video of the audio commentary, the video of our XM show that night, and maybe other special surprise or two featuring Alex Ross artwork. And the disc is signed by both Melody and Sam.
It is pretty.
Or you can just enjoy the digital download.
You can.
Of the commentary that you can play on your iPod or your computer or whatever device you like. And you can put it on and you can watch Flash Gordon. It's like watching it with Melody and Sam, which was such a treat.
It was a treat.
So check that out over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. And with that, we take our first break.
Give me a sign. Hello out there. Everyone in Geekland, yeah, that's you. I mean you. This is Daddy Fantastic. That's right. You know, Mr. Fantastic's father. I know you didn't think he had any relatives, but he does. I've been thinking, the only way Mr. Fantastic is ever going to get out of that basement of mine is if this show really takes off. Yeah, he lives in the basement. We let him out to do the show, but I want him out of there permanently. So what Mrs. Fantastic and I need you to do is visit the iTunes store and subscribe to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. That's Big Kev's Geek. Yeah, you know what I mean. Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You do that by typing Geek Stuff. I know that's a little strange, but it's Geek Stuff into the search field. And then you hit some keys, and before you can say David Copperfield, you're there. It's unbelievable. It's just something really that's fantastic. Yeah, that's right. Daddy Fantastic. Also, don't forget to visit the website on the internets. The address is big. It's very big, this address. It's just so long to get it out. It's Big Kegs. What's the guy's name? Would you please tell me? What's his name? Big Kev, that's it. I knew it. BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can't miss it. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. It's not time to make one more thing. I messed up before. If you would like to hear more Big Kev's Geek Stuff, email eric.logan at xmradio.com. Don't forget.
Hi, hello. This is Patricia Quinn from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
In another dimension, with voyeuristic intention, well secluded, I see all.
Nicole said Santa Claus. You know, I'm kind of using them out of order, the bits of that song, but I like the other bit better, so I played it first.
We're back with Big Kids Geek Stuff, episode 86, Christmas in Gotham.
Christmas in Gotham.
Wait for it. All right, what do we have?
We have from our friends over at Sideshow Collectibles.
Sideshowtoy.com.
Yes. The latest in their Heroes of the Rebellion Star Wars 12-inch figures. Leia. Princess Leia Organa from Episode 4.
Right.
And she's smack delicious good. This would be, many people refer to her as hair buns.
Right.
Leia in the white outfit. She comes with her little blaster pistol.
Aww.
Her cute one. And a stormtrooper blaster.
Set them to stun.
Yes. for trying to break out of the detention area
right.
later on in her white outfit. It comes, of course, in the collectible packaging that you can remove the figure without having to damage the packaging.
Very
perfectly
fancy.
Fine to display her in the packaging because the flap over features lovely
flavor text.
Flavor text.
We like flavor text.
Yes. It has a magnetic closure that all of the Star Wars 12 inches have enjoyed.
Right.
And I think that's great, by the way. What a great innovation that was. This is the latest. Now, coming soon to us in the next couple of weeks is going to be the episode for Obi-Wan.
Yes.
And coming very soon thereafter, not very soon, but in a couple of months, quarter-scale speeder bike.
And actually, for those of you who are collecting this 12-inch line, I believe the pre-sale has begun on the 12-inch Han Solo.
Yes, I think it's the episode 4 Han Solo.
It is.
Because I think a Bespin one was already out. Right,
right, the Bespin one was already out. So we're talking about here white shirt, blue vest.
Black vest.
Black vest, rather.
Shooting Greedo in the bar.
Shooting Greedo in the bar, Han Solo.
Han Solo,
that's what we're talking about. And I think that went on pre-sale this week. So you can probably still get one of those.
I think you're correct about that. And let me also add this little nugget. Did you know there was a Commander Parigi?
12-inch?
Uh-huh.
Heroes of the Rebellion figure?
Forces of the Imperium, Armies of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever the...
No, I did not know that. Did we miss that one somehow?
We did?
Well, I bet you're crying about it.
Not really, because I called up and I was like, the heck? And they were like, don't worry, Kev. We don't want Big Kev's Geek Stuff to miss out on these things, especially these Imperial Army things.
Okay, good.
You know they haven't done any troopers yet? This would be the first kind of Imperial officer guy that they did, Parigi.
You know, I'm thinking they're trying to get away from the trooper a little bit. I think they'll do one eventually.
They're not doing them, I think, because the Real Action Heroes from Mediacom is doing them, and Sideshow distributes them.
Yeah, man.
You don't think so?
No.
I think it's plausible.
It could be. But they do. But Mediacom does all those alien figures, and Sideshow has alien figures, too.
Those are the Mediacom ones, sir.
I thought they had ones that were their own.
No, sir.
Anyway. Either way.
It is a pretty figure. Right. Princess Leia Organa, Imperial Senator Alderaan, I think is what they're calling this one. 1/6 scale, 12-inch figure. Perfect for your collection of Star Wars 12-inch.
When are they going to do an R2 and 3PO, like 2-pack or something?
I don't know. That's what I don't... I mean, I understand their character selection, but at the same time, it's kind of like, really? So I'm a little confused. I'm going to... you want to start talking about this because I'm going to open it up.
Okay, what we have here... This is actually a throwback to the new segment, but we wanted to save it because it really is fancy and pretty.
And not even that. It's just going to take entirely too long
to
talk about because there is so much.
Blade Runner. What is it? The final director's cut? The final cut? The ultimate director's cut? The not the last
well,
one
it,
director
the
cut?
All new final cut is in here.
Final cut. Okay. This is the briefcase. The Blade Runner briefcase collectible set that includes the final cut of the film, which has been released this week.
I'm opening it up. So let's see. You know, we can see exactly what comes in it. Why don't you use that as a guide while I'm getting in here?
This comes with a tremendous amount of stuff. I don't even know where to start. I mean,
it is a little briefcase, though.
It is. It's a little briefcase.
Fold up handle.
It comes with five DVDs. Let's start there.
Okay.
All right. Disc one is the final cut of the film. Okay. Disc two is a documentary, Dangerous Days, The Making of Blade Runner. This is a definitive documentary incorporating outtakes, deleted scenes, and all new interviews never before seen, never before released.
Okay.
Disc three, complete archival versions, which is the 1982 U.S. theatrical cut, the 1982 international theatrical cut, and the 1992 director's cut of the film. So all three of them available on one disc. So really, this is your complete Blade Runner collection.
Holy
here.
Holy cow.
Okay. Disc 4 is the Enhancement Archive, audiovisual mosaic of more than a dozen segments chronicling aspects of the production, plus focuses on Sid Mead, Jordan Cronweth, DVD restoration, and vintage featurettes. And then Disc 5 is Ultra Rare Pre-Release Work Print, plus all the other variant futures featurette. Now that's just the DVD portion of this collectible set. Let's get on to the goodies in the set. It comes with a motion film clip.
Yes, this thing is amazing.
All right.
Look at this.
Well, why don't you tell us what it is?
Well, it's like it's about a 4x2 sort of, you know, like they package those little like film clips sometimes kind of useless. This is actually a full size lenticular, and look what happens.
Oh, very nice. Oh, wow, it's really good too.
Yeah,
quality
it's
is really,
really
good.
Really good. And it moves through a whole, you know, it looks like a whole, what, second of the film there. That's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know, it's like several different frames, and it's got that lenticular motion to it. That is fantastic. What a great little thing.
The set also comes with a rare art folio featuring works by Sid Mead and other visionary artists.
Okay,
and this
hold
is
on.
Kind of like a...
It's a little folder. It says Blade Runner, like a little...
it's got four or five in there?
It looks like a little folder that has pre-production artwork in the folder.
Right.
And then inside that is the conceptual art by Sid Mead.
Okay.
Who's a futurist, if you don't know.
Right.
He did all of the work here. And yeah, there's several different prints by Sid Mead. There's a few in here by Mentor Huebner.
Okay.
Tom Cranham.
Okay.
Sherman Labby. Because there were so many people that worked on this project. And they've made a great selection here with their art choices. Very nice.
And then the final piece of this set, or final two pieces, I should say, of this set.
Right.
The miniature unicorn.
The miniature unicorn. Yes, here it is.
And the spinner vehicle replica.
Now, the miniature unicorn is kind of plasticky.
Yeah, he looks like shiny plastic.
But he's like supposed to be like the paper one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is really cool. That's kind of a weird little thing to add, don't you think?
Well, I think it's for fans of the film.
And the spinner replica is fantastic.
Now, who made that? Is that like Corgi or something?
I'm looking right now, sir. It's BRP.
I don't know who they are. Blade Runner Productions would be my guess.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that could be it. It doesn't say who manufactured it, however. And there's no indication here as to who did it. But it is a fantastic
Well, this is put out
piece.
By Warner Brothers, remember this film. So Warner probably had it custom made. It wasn't
Could be
necessary.
Mattel.
Could be.
It's a little miniature. It's about 3 inches long, about an inch and a half wide. This is the police car. The spinner is the police car of the Blade Runner universe. And it is driven by one James Edward Olmos.
Right. Number 44, right? I think that it's his car, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I think you're right.
That's a nice little replica. That's a really nice set. And here's the most amazing part about this set.
And I agree with you on this.
You would think that all of the stuff in the set would make it amazing. No. The amazing part of this set is the price tag on this set.
Yeah, it really is a bargain at $80.
$80 for that set. That set could easily be
$180.
I don't know if I'd say $180, but I could see somewhere between $100 and $120, depending on where you get it from.
Right.
Easily, and you wouldn't have people scoff at it.
Exactly.
So at $70 or $80, depending on where you get it or if it's on sale or not, that really is the definitive ultimate Blade Runner fan set. This is a must-have if you're a Blade Runner fan.
And you should be. If you've never seen the film Blade Runner.
I want it.
It's a classic.
I had no intention of buying that.
You have
And now I want it.
That's what I'm saying. It's one of those things. It's, you know, when you think about the great science fiction movies. And, you know, this film,
you know, has a huge cult following, and deservedly so. Harrison Ford, Rutger Hauer, everyone else that's in it. It's
Daryl Hannah.
Of course, sir. And all of the rest of the fantastic cast. Ridley Scott, the director, who we interviewed at San Diego this year. You know, it really is a pinnacle science fiction film. It's one of the pinnacle futurist films. And I'm really ecstatic with this. This is a film that deserves this kind of treatment.
Totally.
And I'm really ecstatic. Because some of them you're like, why on earth would you do that for that film? This film definitely deserves it.
My only hope, my only desire, my only wish, if you will, is that this really is the final cut.
Well, Ridley said that.
Because I don't think I could take another cut. This is like the fourth, right? Because the regular cut and then the international cut was slightly different than the original cut. And then there was the director's cut, which was completely different
than the original cut. Well, and then there was voiceover and no voiceover.
Yeah, well, that was director versus non-director, yeah, I think, right?
It's been a whole heaping helping of these cuts. And this is now the final cut and every other cut. So whichever one you like, you can watch and you can check out the other ones, compare and contrast. This is a definitive collection. There isn't going to be one better than this. And there isn't going to be a DVD set this year that's better than the Blade Runner attaché, if
certainly
you will.
Attaché. There you go. Good word.
Attaché.
So there you go. 12-inch Leia Organa and Blade Runner attaché, both available. If you want them, you can find them. So check them both out. Let's take a break.
Attention, Geek Stuff listeners. Do you have a business, website, or other product or service that you would like to advertise on BigKevsGeekStuff.com or the show Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Reach thousands and thousands of people each and every week for a low, low price.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers advertising prices for everybody's budget. For more information on these packages, check out BigKevsGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising button.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff. The best geek exposure for your advertising dollar. Advertising space. No one learned from your mistakes. We let our profits go to waste. All that's left in any case is advertising space.
Hey, this is Ridley Scott. I'm director of The Blade Runner.
More human than human is our motto.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It's not an easy thing to meet your maker.
I don't care what you say. That's a good song. It's a good holiday Christmassy song.
That's what you think.
What everybody thinks. Surprised. Well, I mean, I guess we all know why you don't like it. But
that's about as good a holiday song as Die Hard is a holiday movie. That's all I'm saying.
Does that bug the hell out of you?
What?
When people are like, what's your favorite Christmas movie? And people say Die Hard. I just want to punch them in the mouth.
Our good friend of the show, Ken.
I want to punch Pervert Ken in the mouth when he says that's my favorite holiday.
That's his
movie.
Favorite holiday tradition to watch it every year for him.
Really?
I'm not even lying. Ask him. He'll let you know himself.
Look, a guy looks under statues, dresses for underwear. Fine. Let him enjoy his holiday.
He got his own
movie.
Thing.
It does it make him happy?
It makes him happy.
Then that's all that matters
exactly.
to us.
So we
Big
Kev's
Geek Stuff, episode 86, Christmas in Gotham.
Christmas in Gotham, indeed.
Indeed, indeed.
What are we going to talk
about? Well, I think you know what we're going to talk about. It's a topic you've been avoiding.
Isn't it time for us to end the show?
No, sir. Do you hear the wrap-up music, or do you see her run DMC?
Fantastic. Could you cue the wrap-up music? Oh, now he has nothing to say. Now there's nothing. Now there's no nothing. Bastard.
You think we should address this issue that Matt's been avoiding, Fantastic?
You betcha, Kev.
Yes, I knew that you would agree.
You're an ass.
Playing WoW, are you, OG?
Maybe.
Maybe you're playing a lot, OG?
I don't know if I say a lot.
Maybe
I'm playing enough.
Maybe you get up every morning at 6 o'clock and play for an hour before you go to work?
Now. I do play in the morning before I go to work. Maybe for about a half hour.
A little when you get home. A
little bit.
Every day, maybe.
If I play an hour a day, that's a lot for me. That's a good day.
Uh-huh.
Just saying. That's the truth.
Okay. Hey, that's fine.
It's easily, you could tell that easily by me saying that my character is merely only level 16.
Only level 16 in what?
11
days.
Maybe 2 weeks. Just over 2 weeks,
16 levels.
Well, that's very easy to do.
Uh-huh. I see.
I'd actually like to address that. Can I address that?
Let's talk about
all right, let's talk about this first.
Okay.
So Kev a couple weeks back sent me a trial and said, "Look, you've got to try it. Enough with this hullabaloo. You've got to give it a go. For the sake of the show, for the sake of the fact that I really think you'll enjoy it and I want to play with you, give it a go." And I said, "No.
Absolutely not."
And I stared at the email for about a week. It was a Sunday, and I was kind of bored. I was sitting at home, and I was like, all right, look, I really should give this a go. I should at least launch it.
Right.
I want to be able to talk about it on the show, but I don't feel comfortable talking about it on the show if I haven't actually tried it. And I'm that way about everything. I don't like to completely bash something unless I've at least attempted to watch it. Even if I haven't watched the whole thing, if I at least attempted it, then I could say, well, at least I attempted it. So I loaded up the trial, and I played. I enjoyed it. I found it very fun, very interesting.
Okay.
And here's why. I'm level 16. I'm a level 16 Night Elf Hunter. I'm on your server, the Kirin Tor server, which is an RPG server.
Now, it is not a server that I own.
No, but it is the server that you played on.
Right. All of our friends are playing on Kirin Tor.
We're bringing them over.
Yes,
they're not there.
We're bringing them over. It's KRIIN TOR.
Right.
If any of you guys out there are playing World of Warcraft, want to create a character and come in and join us for some WoW playing, Kirin Tor is the server. My name on it is Blue Devil,
right.
BlueDevill, two L's at the end.
Right.
And you are Light.
Yes, LYYTE.
Right. And we're starting our own guild.
We are.
In the very near future, so that'll be fun.
We are, but let's take a couple steps back.
Okay.
I think the reason that I'm enjoying the game so much, where I'm playing as often as I'm playing, and I'm comfortable about talking about it now and trying to convince other people to play, is because I started playing the game, and I was very comfortable to play the game.
Right.
I found it very accessible to myself and to someone new to the game. I also found it very reasonable to level up and move through the game without ever feeling like I was hunting or grinding for the sake of leveling. Now, I've made it to level 16 in the game without ever once spending 2 hours killing boars to get to the next level.
Right.
Every level that I've gained has been through completing in-game storylines and quests.
Right.
And I was very impressed with that because you don't get that very often.
Right.
And I hope that maintains. And I don't know that it will, but I hope that it does.
Okay.
It's accessible. It's fun. I think probably even to people who haven't played MMOs before, it's accessible. And I think you should give it a go.
I think the other thing that you need to mention here is the fact that it is very stylized.
It is very stylized.
But beautifully rendered.
Sure.
I mean, the home city of your people, the Night Elves,
right,
is Darnassus.
Correct.
It's actually an entire city that's on the top of this giant tree.
That entire area. So you have Darnassus, Dolinor, and Teledrassil is all on top of a tree, essentially.
Right. A big giant tree.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Really, really quite a well-done concept. And everything is, and the big cities like Ironforge and Stormwind. And Stormwind are so beautifully rendered, and everything is, it's so lush and beautiful to look at that it's, I just get great joy sometimes from just running around and looking.
Yeah, sure.
I was making my way to Ironforge from somewhere, I can't remember, through the wetlands up to Ironforge, and you have to go up through these mountain passes and things, and you can look out over the, oh, it's just fantastic stuff. You could take a hippogriff
right
ride, and normally in these things, when you would do some kind of transport, like in Star Wars Galaxies, for example, like when you took a transport from Mos Eisley's to, you know,
wherever, Bespin.
Bespin.
Even though Bespin's not in the game. But
not Bespin.
Like
on a planet, though.
So from
we're on Tatooine, yeah, and we're going from Anchorhead to Mos Eisley. What you do is you go, and then you pay the little robot guy, and then your screen freezes up. It goes to a load screen, and when it comes back, you're in the new city. Not so in World of Warcraft. Not so.
No.
You get on Hippogriff, you ride the entire length of the Hippogriff ride, and you see everything. You're flying above everything.
Okay.
There's players below you. There's stuff happening below you. And I just think that's a fantastic touch.
I actually take issue with that. That might be the only thing I have an issue with so far. Because I right now where I am in the game, I spend a lot of time traveling back and forth between Darnassus and the Darkshore, and I take the Hippogriff each time.
Now, can I just tell you that that's a silly thing you're doing?
Why?
Because, A, you don't have a lot of money right now.
Okay.
Your character, Light, does not have a lot of money right now. Why would you be taking Hippogriff?
As opposed to?
The boat.
The boat free? How much does the Hippogriff cost?
It costs you several silver every time you use it.
You sure?
Oh, I'm positive, sir.
Well, either way.
The boat, however, is absolutely free and comes like every few seconds.
The point that I want to make here, whatever my mode of transportation is, point that I want to make is the issue I have with the Hippogriff specifically, and maybe the solution is to take the boat. I don't know. But the issue that I have is that after the first like one or two times, I'm done with I got up the other day and made a sandwich.
That's good though.
I guess I'd almost rather have that quick load screen and then a drop, or the option to skip the cinematic of the flight, because you can't really do anything.
Not a cinematic.
So. I know it's not a cinematic, but it's essentially a cinematic when you have no real control other than to change your view.
Well,
it's essentially a cinematic.
Yeah, but things are happening live below you.
The
one ever pass you, like when you're doing something.
No, I've never seen anybody.
You've never seen that?
No.
And they fly up over your head. That's awesome, dude. And I'm just like, that guy, I'm always like, Hippogriff guy, you know, like, that's really cool. I think that's great. And you get the same thing on the boat
But I hear on the boat, at least you can like move around on the boat and do things.
Yeah.
You could like grind on the boat. Like if you're a leather worker,
right.
You can do work on the boat. As opposed to the Hippogriff, you can't really do anything.
But you know, the Hippogriff serves a purpose, sir. It serves a purpose from getting you from places on land to other places on land.
Right.
I mean, you happen to be using it to cross a body of water.
Right.
Which you could use the boat. It would not only save you money, but you could still do work on it. And that's a good time to do work like that. And waiting for the boat on the pier is also a good time to do work like that. That's what I found anyway.
Right.
As long as you're not a fucking engineer like me, when you need an anvil and a this and a that and this and the other thing in order to do your stuff. That said, the only time they do a load screen like that is when you travel between the two. You haven't done this yet.
No.
So this might be good for you. Maybe we should do this tonight. Is when you travel between the land masses. So in other words, we would get on a boat in Darkshore that goes to Menethril, I think it's called.
Right.
And then in Menethril, theoretically in Menethril, what we would do is we would then take a Hippogriff to Ironforge. However, since you've never been to Ironforge before, you can't do that. So we would have to run up to Ironforge, establish a new flight path, and then you could fly back and forth. But it's a fantastic game without going into...
Yeah, like, let's not do
all
that.
I'm glad that you're enjoying it. And again, if you want to check out World of Warcraft, let us know. Drop us a line and you can drop me a line.
You can drop me a line too.
You can drop me a line. I want them to drop me a line.
I know why you want them to drop you a line.
Why? What?
want the trials.
I will send, Big Kev will send you a free trial of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's fine. Just drop me a line, criticaltoys@gmail.com. And, you know, and when mine run out, OG, I'll give you.
Well, thank you.
I'll pass them along to you.
All right.
Send you a free trial. Try it out for 2 weeks. If you like it, you sign up. You come and join us on Kieran Tour. What take care of you. Just saying.
Two more things real quick I want to get out there.
Okay.
If you do decide to join us, I actually started a little WoW thread, and I'm going to start a new one, I think, this week, where you can actually go and list your player name. So if you want, that's where you can find other Geek Stuff fans. You can find their players' names. And we're trying to eventually start a guild, a Geek Stuff guild on Kieran right. Tour as well. So if you do have interest in playing the game, or you're already playing and you want to create a new character over on Kieran Tour, these are all things you can consider. There are a couple of us, a couple of regulars that you hear us talk about yes. on the show or that have been featured on the show before that are playing.
Pervert Ken is playing.
Pervert Ken is playing. Mycubus, Starman. Mycubus Prime. Prime. And there's a couple mm-hmm. others that are toying around with the concept and the notion.
Yes.
So
yes.
It could be a lot of fun. It could be an extension of the Geek Stuff show for you outside of the weekly show. And you should give it a go. That's all.
I think it's really great that you've come around and are playing.
Well, I am having fun. If I wasn't having fun, I wouldn't be playing. And if I wasn't, you know, if I wasn't...
Gay homo?
Yeah, you know, gay homo. No, if you know, I wouldn't be trying to sell people on it if I didn't think that they would enjoy it also. That's all I'm saying.
And there it is, World of Warcraft. We'll periodically update people.
Sure.
We'll talk more about it when we discover exciting new things.
Don't worry, this isn't going to become a WoW show, I promise
you. I'm 32. You. I'm level 32.
I'm 60. I'm half of you. But I'm halfway to 17, so I'm...
That's good.
I'm like right on the cusp.
We can clear it up tonight. And with that, we'll be right back with the wrap-up and the Big Kev's Geek Stuff Christmas gift to our fans. Do you want to know what it is? Well, then you have to stay tuned for the wrap-up, my friend.
Hello, dear listener. Kev here. When I'm looking for the absolute best in action figure news and entertainment, I look no further than action-figure.com. They have the latest news, information, pictures, and exciting stuff that I'm looking for. Once again, that's action-figure.com. Go there today.
Sorry, Adrian.
That's all right. Has anybody told him that his British accent is just, like, really terrible?
You should have heard his African-American.
God, blimey!
Hey, this is Edie McClurg, otherwise known as Grace, from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
It jeopardizes my ability to effectively govern this student body.
Well, makes you look like an ass is what he does, Ed.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The sportos and motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
What a geek!
And we are back, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 86. God, it feels like we've been at this for days.
Dare I say, weeks, sir. Weeks.
So, what did we talk about on episode 86, Christmas in Gotham?
We talked about the Wolverine movie, and not really that much as far as Marvel making their big release. What it's going to be. It's exactly what we thought it was going to be. The only exciting news is, will Victor Creed actually be in it? And will it be Tyler Mane?
I talked about Kotobukiya's latest Star Wars vinyl entry, their second Boba Fett, which is part of the Bounty Hunter series. You get all the bounty hunters, you get a piece of Vader, you get a Vader for free.
Wow, everybody's on the Build-A-Figure bandwagon.
I know, it's the one thing he's ever brought to the industry.
Well, you know, everybody's got to have their thing, I guess. We also talked a little bit about the Dragon Ball Z movie. Now, I know, Big Kev, I know, but Chow Yun-Fat, sir, Chow Yun-Fat.
That's why I'm forced to see it.
Well, hey, you know, if you have to be forced, at least that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about Peter Jackson and his role in the upcoming Hobbit film, or should I say...
He's playing one of the Hobbits?
Films. Well, no, but he has a role in the production of the films.
I maintain he's going to be the director.
I maintain that's yet to be seen.
We talked about DVD releases.
We did. We had a couple of really good ones this week, a couple of exciting ones, especially within our genre. First, of course, would be...
The Simpsons movie.
The Simpsons movie.
Of course.
I still haven't seen it.
And neither have I.
What about Stardust?
Stardust, saw that, loved it, thought it was great.
Halloween?
Halloween, didn't see it yet, heard a lot of good things about it, though.
Balls of Fury?
Didn't see it yet, but I heard a lot of good things about it. See, that's the good thing, because now I'm going to get the chance to go and see these movies.
Oh, sure. I'll get to see them, too. And Mod Squad, sir.
Mod Squad, the original Mod Squad Season 1. It's a classic. It is absolutely a television crime classic, and you should check it out.
You should check it out, and while you're checking it out, or maybe I should say, you should check it out while you're waiting for your Wii rain check to come through. That's right, Nintendo and GameStop have a Wii rain check program going on right now for all of you who still can't get one.
I'm very excited about the end of the show today, about the present. I can't lie to you.
Well, hold on. You're getting a little...
All right, let's just...
Real quick.
Let's just get through it.
We talked about Sideshow 12-inch, Heroes of the Rebellion, Princess Leia.
Yes, and also in the second segment, we mentioned a superior DVD release, the Blade Runner Super Attaché.
Super duper. Even. It's got a wonderful array of little goodies in it, including that little replica spinner, which really, to me, that makes the set.
And the case and the lenticular picture thing is very awesome.
And the little unicorn-y thing.
Little papery unicorn.
Aww.
And as OG already said, the 12-inch Leia from Heroes of the Rebellion, SideshowToy.com will get you more info about that product.
And my journey down the road to the dark side is complete.
Yes, in our third segment today, OG talks about his WoW experiences.
And mostly how I'm playing now. So you can find both myself, Light, L-Y-Y-T-E is my character name. I'm a Night Elf Hunter. And Big Kev, Blue Devil, B-L-U-E-D-E-V-I-L-L.
Two L's on the end.
That's right. He's a Draenei Hunter. And we are running around the Kirin Tor role-playing server.
Right, Kirin Tor. Come make a character there. Come hang with us. Join our guild.
That's right, the guild.
Which will be up and running,
I think. Up and running probably by the time you hear this, I hope.
I would say, yes. And we should take this time also to say Happy New Year to everybody, because I'm sure with the holidays and everything else, I'm sure that you'll be not getting around to hearing Big Kev's Geek Stuff until the new year. So Happy New Year also with this episode.
What are you trying to say? You predicting the future?
I am predicting.
Look at you. Did you get a magic 8-ball for Christmas last year?
No, but I hope I get one this year.
That would be fantabulous.
That's like one of the great novelty gifts of all time.
It's true. And yet it's never come up in the grab bag somehow.
Probably because it's less than 10 bucks.
Yeah, that's probably.
Wait, didn't like a Simpsons one come up or something?
Oh, maybe. Well, real quick, don't forget, you can check us out online at BigKev'sGeekStuff.com. You can check us out on iTunes by searching for Geek Stuff in the podcast directory. You can check us out on MySpace and figure that one out on your own. And don't forget, we're trying to do this charitable donation project with the folks over at Sluggy Freelance.
Yes, so Sluggy Freelance
on the website as well.
Sluggy.com, we should mention.
Right, and I believe the site is heroesforheroes.org. You can check some information out on that. And I think we should stop teasing.
Whoa.
What?
I think we should make sure that we mention that if you do go over to iTunes, leave us a review.
because you love us.
And go to Dig.
And dig us.
And dig us. And coming in the new year, the Big Kev's Geek Stuff video segments will start to hit the air on YouTube.
Predicting the future again, are you?
I am. I know that one's going to happen. And also a new project, Big Kev Eats Stuff, starting up in January.
Yummy.
I love this project. I have to ask, because there's one person who has been a little, you know, there's been some dissension about the new project, a little unwariness.
Okay.
But having researched it and having thought about it and gone over it and my endless trying to get him on board. Fantastic. Are you now on board with Big Kev Eats Stuff?
You betcha, Kev.
There it is.
There it is.
He's made a complete turnaround.
It's unbelievable.
Absolute transformation.
I have to say that I've worked long and hard with and on Fantastic on this project.
Hey,
and he, he's really, I think he's really turned the corner on it.
Well, I think we need to wrap up the wrap up.
Okay.
And get to the gift giving.
Yes, we should.
We can't return this gift, folks.
Yeah, and nor
may try.
You may not. You won't want to.
Not at all.
I think. I think in the upcoming weeks that this may be posted on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Jesus.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Sure.
So that said, I'm Big Kev. There's OG, and Fantastic. Did you make it through the episode? All right.
You betcha, Kev.
And there it is. And and now we'll do this.
And on that note, we cue
the commentary. And you can push play now. Big Kevin OG commentary on the Dark Knight. Oh, there he goes. Battle. Yeah, it's... And there's Batman. He just jumped down on the
car. He is a pretty man.
Yeah, he is. He's swooping in. Swooping in on him. Look at that shot.
Oh, brilliant.
It's amazing.
Heath Ledger looks fantastic as the Joker, sir.
He looks psychotic. It's great. There's the laugh. He really has nailed that laugh.
He spent enough time doing it in his room.
Yep.
It's the Tet Offensive in Gotham.
Now, he's under arrest. Nothing in his pocket but knives and lint. Great line. Wow. And there's the first shot of him in the makeup. That line, why so serious? They're using that a lot.
Well, it's a good line.
Oh, there he is firing a missile launcher. Oh, whoa.
Who was dying?
Michael Caine. People. He said people are dying.
Smashing the bat light is very nice. The bat signal.
Oh,
this
is the scene between the love interest and the Joker. And there's the scene when they fight, it looks like.
See the new bat.
I love Lucius Fox's back.
Yeah, man.
So is Gary Oldman.
Of course, you have to have Gary Oldman back. He's the commissioner.
Every shot of Heath Ledger makes me want to see this movie more and more. All part of the plan. There he is, psychotic. Look at that shot.
That bat vehicle is fantastic.
Let's put a smile on that face. Wow. And he just starts smiling right at the end there. It's fantastic. The Dark Knight, we have 7 months to wait, and that's our commentary.
There it is.